Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, and welcome to the show. Paddy McGill here. I hope you're all keeping really well. So I suppose the dust has settled and we had our review show on Sunday night. 11th Ulster title that Donegal picked up, the Anglo-Celt on Sunday, defeating Armagh. We're still, I suppose, debriefing that one. I'm delighted to be joined by our drama manager and under 20 county selector, Damien Devenny, and of course, Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat. Hi, lads. How are you?
Who's Paddy?
All right, Paddy. All right, Damien.
How are you?
So one of the advantages of doing a podcast in the immediate aftermath of a match is that it's off the cuff. There's probably emotion. There's all the rawness of the occasion, whether you win or lose, and that's an advantage. The disadvantage is you watch it back on a Monday night or Tuesday morning, whenever, and you realize all over the place, people have sat down on Sunday night or they're watching it live, they're in another country, and they're like, that didn't happen. And you say the likes of Jason McGee scuffed his penalty. I think that was just my complete nerves at the time. So I watched it back on Monday night, and Jason McGee, I apologize. What a brilliant penalty. Arguably the best penalty of the whole lot. I was all over the place. Alan, it was just one of those afternoons, wasn't it?
You've started well, Paddy, because if you're going to fall out with anybody, Jason McGee is probably not the fella you'd want to fall out with. I suppose it had it all, Paddy. It's, you know, there was a real sense of occasion in Clonus, like even from very early in the day, you know, there was so much talk about tickets and that in the lead up to it. And, you know, you kind of got the feeling you were in for the long haul. Even, I think, Paddy, at one stage, I met you for a coffee or something, and it says, I'll chat to you before extra time. We said that maybe an hour beforehand. So, you know, Donegal done well to hang in there. They've shown that. I think the thing about I was thinking about the three games, you know, the kind of, you know what, you know, it was a smart performance to beat Derry, Tyrone. Probably it was the legs that got Donegal through. Well, the last day was just kind of grit and determination, getting them back into the game as such. It really came down to that, and really whoever wanted to win it more. You know, for a game or for an occasion, you know, where the margins are so thin, the emotions and the feelings afterwards are total opposites for the Donegal and the Armagh camp, Paddy.
What did you make of it, Damien?
I suppose to echo what Alan said, the occasion in itself, I've never seen Clonus like it. It was absolutely brilliant. It was back to the real good old days. You know, we'd the whole family down, the Killian Neifer were with us, you know, and there was stuff going on, and you know, that Barry McGuigan Park beforehand, there was music there, and then we went up the street, and you know, I work with quite a few people over in the UK there, and I sent over a video of the fans mixing in the street beforehand and the colour and everything. They couldn't get over it, like, compared to maybe the segregation at soccer matches and stuff, like, they just couldn't believe it. The atmosphere was just electric the whole way up the street, and the weather was good up until that shower that nearly washed us all out. But the game itself was just, just had everything, I thought. And as Alan says, it was just grit and determination that got there in the end. You know, it wasn't like people were saying that Armagh were coming in and they maybe didn't know how to win. They were fully convinced they were going to win that game. You know, they were celebrating every score like it was the winner from the first minute. Like, even I think it was Stephen Farker scored one earlier on, and he pumped into the crowd, and they were just really, really up for it, really, really confident, and looked like a team that were really on a mission. And for Donegal to come back the way they did on a couple of occasions. Just pure grit and determination, and the big one then obviously been belief in the work they'd done, and belief that they would get over the line.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Alan, you know the way you win when we won the All-Ireland in 2012? Now, we were all probably too young really to immerse ourselves into 92, but obviously when they win the All-Ireland, as a GAA supporter, it's the best moment ever, right? But just, and I loved the fact that Donegal were All-Ireland champions until the following year, okay? But for pure raw emotion, for 70 minutes, that Donegal-Cork game, just on the 70 minutes itself, was probably more exciting than the Donegal-Mayo game. And I know people are going to say, what are you talking about? Point is, we were just ahead early on in that game, and it was about just getting over the line. Or you go back to 5 minutes or 20 minutes of pure elation, Cassidy's point in 2011 against Kildare, or that victory over Dublin in 2014. Now, there's loads of them. For Ulster finals, and I'm not saying it was the best ever, but I personally, that surpassed them all for me. And I don't like comparing, but you do automatically compare. Like, it was really special. And Cathair O'Kane said to me on Monday, not in a disparaging way at all, he goes, wow, the pitch invasion at the end, what was that, Alan? Was it because of everything over the last year? It was like we hadn't won it since like 1957 or something.
I think it was the scariest moment of Sean Patton's life, because I said to him afterwards, if you do that in a soccer match, you'll get, 10 other lads and a few subs coming at you. Sean looked up and there's the guts of 12,000 people running at him there, I think. So I don't know. The thing I noticed about even since Jim McGuinness is coming back, like there's a kind of cohort of very young fans, when you're thinking, I remember even the game in Derry, there was fans getting autographs of Jim and the kids, looked about 8 or 9 years of age. And you're thinking, then when you think about it, you go, they're thinking like you were barely born, when Jim was here the last. They've probably, been brought up on the stories. Even like I said, the same to Colin McFadden about his own kids, that they've probably heard all the stories about, when Jim and Dad were there. But now they're kind of making their own dreams for these people. And I think it was just the way that game was so nearly gladiatorial the last day, it was really a fight to the bitter end, basically. And I suppose, whatever you think about a penalty shootout, it is a pretty dramatic way to finish, rightly or wrongly. I think it's hard not to feel a bit of sympathy for our man, especially, people having to hit penalties twice, which I thought was quite rough. But I think it was just because it all came down to that moment, Paddy, I suppose, and then there's the explosion of joy thereafter.
Yeah, I think I'm a cold-hearted sociopath, Damien. I just don't do sympathy when the team I'm following win. Damien, this is where I am with it. There's the whole McGuinness factor, and he's come back, but for me, why it was such a special win is, when you go to a wedding or something and you wear your suit and you throw it away, and then 3 weeks later you have another wedding and you go to the dry cleaners, but before you do, you find €20 in your pocket and you're just absolutely delighted with yourself. It's a really special moment. For me, that was on Sunday. For me personally, I thought we were gone. I was just looking at it. The rain had come down. The Armagh flags were being waved. They were dominating. They were in control. They had all the tempo, the energy, the electricity, every other adjective you can have. We were gone. And that's why, for me, it's a bit like the Cassidy score and the Toy score that day. I felt we were gone. We were gone against Kildare. That's why maybe all that emotion came out.
Definitely. Like, and a good point Alan made about the young ones, like my own fella, Killian, he was born in 2014. Like, they didn't know about Jim whenever he came back. So they definitely know now, and it's all they're talking about. But no, definitely, like, we looked in serious trouble. And I'll tell you, one of an unreal score by Niall O'Donnell, I think, when was it 13-9 down?
Yeah.
And Donegal had struggled, like, we had struggled a wee bit on our footing after that shower of rain came. And when you were on the pitch afterwards, the ground was really hard. Like, you can see why it was so slippy. But for his technique to score the point he did at 13-9 was unbelievable. And then I think Rian O'Neill, did he get a mark and score it then to go 14-10 up? And then to fight back again, it was
Langan got us back from 14-10. And then it was 15-11, and then Niall O'Donnell got another point.
And Langan had a massive game. Langan actually marked Rian O'Neill back in, I think it was 2019, in the Trench Cup final for Letterkenny against Dundalk, funny enough. So they would have been well versed with each other, and I think Michael did a great job on him again. So just them different clutch moments. And even some people were saying about, Ryan McHugh didn't have the normal effect. Ryan harried and tackled, and he doubled up one time in the corner on Mackin, I think it was, to get a turnover, and then in injury time when we really needed to get a kick out away, he came back and he won the short kick out. Like he worked his socks off. Like he was another player that just had a phenomenal game. But like there was so many you could list out 10, 12 moments in the game. Like the amount of scores too, was there 16 or 17 scores in the game? Like it's just phenomenal stuff. Like,
did you think we were gone, Damien, at 15-11?
I did. I'll admit that I thought we looked tired at that stage, which made it all the more impressive. You have to, again, the substitutions all work really well. Like the amount of substitutions from the bench that scored. You know, Jack McKelvey came on and scored. Ward Doherty's kick just out from near the end of extra time was a phenomenal score as well. Like, and the good thing about those players is they are used to getting over the line in tight games from their club as well. So they've been in them situations, maybe against Guido Wars and St. Junans over the years, and they're used to them situations and they seem to handle them very well.
I felt that everyone going into this game was talking about the strength of Armagh's bench and all this. And I was thinking, deep down, these lads maybe are not household names in other counties yet. Alan, Jack McKelvey, Oran Doherty, Aaron Doherty, those three in particular, because there was no Jamie Brennan and McBrearty, but
McColgan as well.
And McCall, we know they're all brilliant players. Like, they're either very young or they just weren't around the last year or so. And Alan, I actually was confident enough of our bench, and I was extremely confident, Alan, when I saw Paddy McBrearty named on the bench. I was here, this is a serious bench now. And Manus made the point in commentary as well, Alan, and he knows way more about football than I'll ever know. He said Donegal are actually going to make these at the right time. And when we go back to a point, Alan, I was like, now Armagh have the cavalry to come on. But he was like, nah, they've left it too late.
Yeah, I suppose it's a matter of getting up to the speed of the game too. And, you know, a lot of them players you mentioned there, the Oran Dohertys, Jack McKelveys and Keelan McColgan's, they all have pace as well. Like, I noticed that against Tyrone, when you're going into extra time, Keelan McColgan, you know, come on that day before extra time. You could see at that stage of the game, Tyrone were probably starting to wilt a little bit. And Brian Duher opted not to make any changes before extra time. Where, like, I even think you would see that a lot, like in junior football, where you see one team is quite older than the other. You know, if the younger team, you know, plays the ball, uses the corners, uses their pace and stuff like that there, I always think, you know, it will stand for longer in the game. But, you know, even the likes of Patrick Mogan, like I thought in the closing stages, you know, I would be frightened of the pace he was still showing. He had done the same as against Tyrone as well. But and he made one, like, got a point in extra time. And I just thought, you know what, if we could even get the ball to the likes of him, would you want him running at you in the, you know, whatever, 1 minute to go in injury time? God knows. So, yeah, the pace thing is really interesting, Paddy. And I think it's, you know, it's a way the game is played now. And, like, even from Jim's first spell, we always would have known there was a propensity in Jim to kind of finish as strong as you start. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people didn't agree with what he did, holding the likes of Patrick McBeardy back in 2014 and that. But, yeah, it's an interesting part of the game. And I do think that he made changes in good time, as was the case against Tyrone, where the Armagh substitutes actually made an impact. But some of them, I felt, were on quite late in the game.
Donegal were the most aggressive of the two teams, going after kickouts and stuff like that. And that's why sometimes it looked like maybe Armagh got their scores a wee bit easier at one stage in the game. You know, it was because Donegal were making that effort to press up, you know. And even we're talking about all the quality there too. We haven't even mentioned Oisin Gallen's performance yet, like, which won the first half. Like, the people around us were just, it was nearly, they were laughing at it. Like, it was just, some of the stuff he was doing was unreal. Both feet turning sharp, just as good a first half performance as you could have got.
He was absolutely class. And there were so many. Jason McGee is having a brilliant couple of games. We know that. Langan second half was outstanding. For me, it was the ownership as well, Damien. Just going back to those, like, we barely celebrated Niall O'Donnell's point at 13-9 because we were kind of like deflated, going, we're just living off scraps here. We're on life support. Then Langan got it when it was 14-10. Another massive score. Niall O'Donnell, as I said, 15-11. And I loved the way they were actually screaming for the ball. Another score I absolutely loved was Dara O'Boyle's. Aidan Nugent put Armagh 2 up. And Dara O'Boyle is over in the Pat McGrain side. And he's just lining up for it perfectly. But he's like give me the ball, give me the... And I'm like...
Was that after he'd come back on, wasn't it?
Aye. That, into the old Offaly Terrace. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I play Aston on a Tuesday night and I'm like, do not give me the ball under any circumstances, and there's nobody watching. Darrell Whale is just like, give me the size five. I'm putting that over the bar. And they're all massive scores, because the four, we were trailing by four, three different occasions in the 70, and that's resilience. I thought the two in extra time was just as much as that. And Oran Doherty's point, like, here, like, yeah, again, he's hugging the touchline. He's like, give it to me, lads. I'm putting it over the bar.
Yeah, well, I think the score rates, the scores were, I think, were unbelievable, up 80-90% in both teams. Like, the scoring was unbelievable. That's why it was strange then when Armagh maybe turned out a couple of opportunities from Marks as well. Near the end, you know, they turned back. I know they had one that sort of pulled just wide, but the two other opportunities maybe where they might have went for shots, and probably looking back will be sorry that they didn't. But just again, the confidence in the lads, and then just their physicality and their fitness levels at the moment too. Like, I would say the backroom team deserves an awful lot of plaudits for that, because it's not that long ago Jim was doing press conferences and he was chatting about the injury crisis he had. You know, Paddy McBurty was on the way back, Michael Langan was on the way back, Jason McGee was on the way back. Like, there were so many of them boys that weren't able to play National League football. And to get them up to where they're at now is just, it's unreal. So them boys definitely deserve a bit of kudos as well.
The only really poor thing about Sunday was, like, at the end of the 70, Jim McGuinness turned around to selectors and said to some of the players, lads, there's 3 minutes left. And we all had our stopwatches on, Alan. The three of us, we always do that. We always put our stopwatches on just in case. And it was 72 minutes. And so I said there's 3 minutes left. But Mark and Manus, we were all going, well, it's not... You know, when you have an official confirmation, you don't really know what's good. But Jim seemed to know. And the board didn't go up to people from other counties who were always giving out, going, why did they not push on? A, they're absolutely wrecked. B, Armagh 15 men behind the ball. And the most important point of all, Alan, the players wouldn't have had a clue with 28,900 people shout. That was really frustrating. That could have cost Donegal the game there.
Yeah, because I felt the stewards end a match position, you know, in the olden days. Really? It was something, you know, and it was like 61 minutes, maybe. Is that early? It felt early to me. And you said about the injury time, you know, and, you know, for ground with scoreboards, you'd wonder why. I remember Donegal Ladies played Armagh in a final 2 years ago. Damien, you might have been there. And people complained afterwards that, you know, the referee played too much injury time. Like, there's no injury time with this countdown clock. There was actually a countdown clock on the terrace that day that a lot of people didn't know. It was just sitting on the empty terrace. And, you know, the players said themselves they didn't know it was there, but a lot of people didn't. So, no, I just thought it was quite bizarre, because, like, basically everybody went off Jim McGuinness's 3 minutes, lads, 3 minutes, and that's, you know, long before the whistle went. And Donegal, I think, were trying to work something at that stage. The whistle went, I think, 40 seconds later, Paddy, something like that.
Had we a free outside the 40, a good bit outside it at one stage too, did we? An option to get Patton up to strike it. If you had a known, it was at the stage of the game where if you put it dead, that might be it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say too, just when you mentioned it earlier, like, I was surprised that, you know, with Sean Patton not playing the previous game, I was surprised that Armagh didn't push up very early on him just to give him a tester and see what would happen. They seemed quite happy to kind of stand off him, and then they could let Sean kind of dictate whatever way he wanted to do it himself. It was just kind of one of the early observations of the games. But as you said, like, the shooting that first half was phenomenal. I think Armagh had 3 wides, 10 points. Donegal had 9 points and 1 wide, I think, which was, like, I think 3 minutes before the break. So, no, it was just one of the kind of many little things you think about at the time. But all's well that ends well, I suppose.
I think Armagh tried to test Sean Patton the other way. I think they did try and put high balls in, and they tried to test him 2 or 3 times. And at one stage, inside the D, I think I counted nine Armagh players that had all pushed right up one stage. And obviously lining up to maybe test him again, but he dealt with everything really well and got the fist to them and got them out.
Yeah, because even we were, I think it was at halftime and extra time, Gavin Mulroney was like kind of swinging his arm for him quite a lot, you know, as Jim done probably the final huddle, and we thought then, you know, is he going to spring Gavin here? I'm not even sure if the subs left at that stage. It's kind of hard to keep up with it, but it was another notion that kind of went through everyone's minds, but I suppose
for the penalties, like
for the penalties, yeah,
yeah,
been seen before. Because I think you probably would have heard the stat now. There's been 6 penalty shootouts ever in Gaelic football at Tricounty Senior, and Armagh have lost 4 of them.
It's craziness. Don't agree with me for the sake of it, lads, but I think there's a better way. Maybe best score wins or something. I actually do like penalties. But everybody's different, and I see people saying bring them back next week. Yeah, bring Donegal and Armagh back next week again. Like, where's the player welfare there on the team that loses or wins? Then they have 3 group games in 4 weeks, and like, we're looking at Kerry and Dublin coming through. Let's be honest, they're only in second gear. I think that would be absolute insanity on the players. I'm sure psychologically in their jobs, I'm sure they're preparing for this, both sets of players, for a huge Ulster final. Ulster's challenging enough as it is. You can't bring them back again in the current structure. 87% of players voted for the split season. Whatever other people say about it, the players like the split season. For me, they're the most important people. I'm not trying to be sanctimonious on that, but to bring it back for a replay, I just think that would be insane. Maybe, well, I don't know. Damien, where do you stand?
The only thing about the penalties, I think it's for an amateur game, for that sort of burden on somebody like Shane McPartland now, that as you say, the cycle, whatever about psychologically going back to work after a game and having to get ready for a replay, going back to work after missing a penalty in front of 30,000 people and whatever the TV audience is very tough at amateur level. I heard, I can't remember, there was a podcast on during the week where they were talking about continue playing until somebody goes 2 points up, so something like that, which would be
came in on the toss. Then you see it could be wind or something like that.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. But just could you imagine the tension when you get to that stage? Like that,
would be,
it's serious viewing. You could be there.
The thing about the breeze is an interesting one. I was having a discussion before about that, and they were like, yeah, but if it's level after 80 minutes, has the breeze really played as much part? I like the next score wins. I think it's something we do. I think it's something you do from when you're 5 years of age. Maybe. Do you like penalties, Alan?
As I said, I don't think it's fair. People have to go up twice. And even when you see the 5 lads from each team as a separate like encampment, I think that's tough. Like the ladies Donegal final a couple of years ago went to like free kicks, was it, Damien? Yeah,
freeze.
And I think that's even worse because, you know, one person misses, there's not even a hero like a Sean Patton type, so the full focus is on them. At least the last day, whatever about McPartland, you know, Sean Patton was the person that people looked at and he was the hero of the day, and there was sort of a duel. So I definitely think it's a stronger or more useful thing than having free kicks or 45s or anything like that. I think that would be an absolute tuple lottery. And as I said, then it's not even a straight duel. And then you could actually just have one person totally culpable for everything, which I don't think is right either. So, but as you said, Paddy, I think that if Donegal and Armagh were to replay next Sunday or whatever, like you'd almost expect it to go to penalties anyway. Like the sides, I know they played the McKenna Cup when Armagh sent up the young team, but you know, the league game was a draw. The game at Croke Park was a last minute winner. The game on Sunday went through the whole ringers, full time, extra time, still level. Like it was. Like I wasn't surprised those penalties last week, and if they drew this week and had to play again, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like it has to end somewhere, basically. So
and Damien, emotionally for a replay, you can't keep going. There's loads of examples down the years where a team is to play 2-3 games in a row and then they're caught a week later and they're a really, really good team. I remember Meath beat Kildare after 3 games and awfully caught them, and I remember hurling 07 maybe, brilliant Waterford team. They drew a Cork, they had to play them the following week and they beat them. And then not a brilliant Limerick team caught them a week. They just emotionally, that was a better Waterford team than Limerick team. I just think they play next week and then they go straight into 3 games in 4 weeks. I think that would be so, so difficult on them emotionally, physically and everything else.
Yeah, but I'd say there's a lot of people wouldn't have minded seeing that game again,
I know.
No, it wouldn't suit us. I'll tell you, don't any mistake. Jim McGuinness made at the weekend was he told all the primary school children at the homecoming on Donegal Town on Sunday night they didn't have to get up for school on Monday morning. So our house was like a war zone. So I couldn't do that again next weekend. Our house was like a war zone on Monday morning. Jim had said.
I didn't actually go out after it. I had to be in school. I'd leave and start first thing Monday morning. So it's the most disciplined I've ever been. That was a lovely video you put up on Twitter, Alan. Brian McAnuff and Jim McGuinness. Somebody wrote up, I love the way Brian McAnuff is just wearing the Donegal jersey still. What a class. I just love that. As Brawley called it, the Donegalism of it all. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was just kind of, it just happened. I was just standing there saying, trying to, you know, get a couple of player interviews, and, you know, you kind of want to give them a little bit of peace as well, you know, to meet their families and friends first. So I could see Brian making a beeline for Jim. And yeah, no, a great moment because, you know, Jim has now won, what, an All-Ireland and 4 Ulsters. Brian's still an All-Ireland with 5 Ulsters. It's interesting, we were saying, since the game, you know, in Donegal's entire history up to 2010, they had won that 1 All-Ireland and the 5 Ulsters. In the 14 years since, they've now won more than they had in their entire history before that. And I think Patrick McBurdy is the first player he's the most decorated player now with a 6th Ulster title. Nobody else has won 6, male or female. So well done to Patrick on that.
I was delighted for him. He's been some servant and still going, Damien. Like, Beans can still score Ulster championships and won as captain, which I think is fitting as well. He's been around, feels like he's just been around forever. Like, what a player. And brilliant speech as well.
Yeah, and the players seem to have serious time for him. I think, am I right in saying he kicked the point to make it 15-all? Is that right?
Yeah.
And he might have been turned over once or twice before that. So, like, the courage then to go and kick that score is just unreal. And as I say, like, he's happy, or he seems happy anyway, to be playing that role. Whatever Jim asks him to do, he'll do, whether it's to come from the bench, whether it's to start, go off and come on again, whatever's asked him, he's willing to do, and he's full trust in it.
Well, he did pick up that injury, though, Alan, a few weeks ago. Remember in the league game? Was that against Meath? So many games this year. I think it was Meath. Yeah, the Meath game. So he picked up an injury, and he only played, what, 10, 15 minutes versus Derry. So we're going to see a lot more of him, but some going. It does feel like he's been there forever, doesn't it, Alan?
It's unbelievable, like, to do that. And as I said, Paddy, I think, you know, the thing about the injuries are now, the games are so compact, you can't take the chance anymore, really. So, you know, if someone's out, they're out. And if somebody only has 20 minutes, you only give it 20 minutes, you know, because they're coming thick and fast. Even, you know, they're starting to take shape already now for the next round. Like we were saying before the final, like Donegal and Armagh, two evenly matched teams, you know, two good teams. From that point in time on Sunday afternoon early, one of them was possibly going to have to play 5 more games to even get to an All-Ireland quarter-final. Like, it's bonkers when you think about it that way.
It is, and we all loved Sunday, and it's wonderful, and I know how the Ulster Council votes on it, and it's our special one. I know people are slagging in other counties, homecoming and all that, but it's brilliant, Damien, the way they've now marked this. Whatever happens, promotion, Ulster champions, it's still a long, long road ahead, but they've marked it with something really tangible, haven't they?
Absolutely. And then the other side of that too was that losers, like that when the game really got to the melting pot, the losers really lost out, because are they out again maybe next week again? So, like, imagine trying, is it next week, is it?
No, it's the same week as us, but they're away to Derry.
Oh, sorry, okay, I thought it was next week. Away to Derry, which where we'll have the home venue. Like, so there was so much at stake, even though everybody was still going forward to the league status, you know.
What I'm loving about this year, Damien, so far is, and I said it on the preview show last week with Malik O'Rourke and Kyle Coney, what I'm loving is oppositions are targeting maybe one or two of our players, one of our key players, but we're actually almost the sum of the parts this year, aren't we? I just think that there's so many players now, you can't target everybody. Like the last day, Pater Morgan, lads, how is he sprinting up like that in the 88th minute? Gallen didn't score a huge amount from play in one of the previous games. And the last day, he's just simply unplayable. Shane O'Donnell, absolutely.
Milo O'Donnell as well.
Niles in just pristine shape, Damien. There's a lot of them playing well. And you're going out the next day and you're thinking, well, if he doesn't play well, X, Y, Z doesn't play well, we have A, B, C.
Yeah, and you're getting scores from, you're getting scores all over. I think we had 8 different scores. You know, Darrell Wales, another man that can get, like, all your 6 forwards or 2 midfielders and most of your backline at some stage can come up with a score. So it's really, they're in a really good position. Hopefully the bodies aren't too bad this week now after that grueling test.
How do you think they will be emotionally over the next 2 weeks?
Oh, I'd say they'll be buzzing. Like, I'd say, I think there was a bit of a joke on the stage then when, so we took the kids back to the homecoming then, and Jim had says, listen, in 24 hours, it's really important that we get the boys back. And the lads started shouting 48 hours, like, so, but I think when they do go back, they'll be absolutely bouncing into training and really looking forward to it and seeing what more they can go and achieve. Like,
I don't care once Donegal win, but I think something nice with this, Damien, is as well, I think in the cold light of day, they'll go back on whatever, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it is, okay? And they'll say, we won an Ulster Championship. We have a lot of improving to do because it wasn't all perfect, Rosie, but it's that old history saying, to the victors come the spoils, because everything else, finals are for winning. I think they'll take those huge learning. There's a vacuum there that they can maybe go up another level.
And it was interesting, like, McGuinness did it from the stage. He was already marking the card that there was more work, loads of work to do, loads of improvements still to be done, and the card was already marked for going back this week. Like, they'll be under no illusions over the next couple of weeks, and McGuinness's backroom team, like you, Neil McGee and Colin McFadden, and I know Luke Barrett very well. Like, the sort of work he goes into the opposition, and that is just, it's off the charts altogether. So they'll all, I'd say by today and tomorrow, they'll all be back at it and getting ready.
I'm looking at the group, Alan. I know, lads, both of you need to go. You've Tyrone at home, then it's Cork away, Clare in a neutral venue, okay? We know Tyrone 7:15, Saturday the 25th of May, then it's Cork. We don't know yet if it's Parky Rin or Parky Queeve, so a few people are texting wondering. We're told it might be the Saturday, okay, because the marathon's on in Cork on Sunday. Then Clare in a neutral venue, no idea where that is. Go to guess Castlebar or Roscommon, maybe. I think Carrick and Shannon Sligo's too close to Donegal. Galway's too close to Clare. But the group itself, Alan, the Tyrone game is absolutely huge. If you can win that, now Cork could be a banana skin big time with the travelling involved, but if you can beat Tyrone, you're in an incredible position. For anybody new to the podcast, we've loads. The one team goes through to the quarterfinal, second and third in each group go through to a preliminary quarter. But we saw from last year, and it's a small sample size, if you come second or third and you want to keep playing, you could be out 3 weeks in a row. Basically, if you win your pool, you'll get a 2 week break to the quarterfinal. And I think that would be huge, Alan. What do you make of it overall?
I think there's too many games. It is what it is, though. Like, I think it would actually be really helter-skelter if only two teams went through and two were knocked out.
There's not enough jeopardy in it at the minute, yeah.
Probably not. No, and last year, you know, there's a lot of kind of exciting things last year, but they were basically playing for second and third position. You know, they still would have got in to the preliminary quarterfinal. But look, it is what it is. And, you know, it's good to be there, and it's good to be there as Ulster champions, obviously. Yeah, I think, you know, you're saying there the Tyrone game, you know, Donegal and Tyrone are obviously favourites to win this. Cork, you know, might think they have a bit of a chance as well. You know, they have got the Donegal game at home. I think, you know, if all you can do really is obviously aim to try and win it, you would think that that would mean you'll probably avoid Dublin, Kerry, and probably one of Derry and Galway, whichever one of them seems to be on the farm nearly when they meet. But as I said, last year it was turned upside down a bit. There was a couple of strange results and stuff towards the end. But as you said, it gets you straight in, you know, to the quarterfinal. It keeps momentum going. You can sit in Crow Park, you know, you'll be there waiting, watching everyone else knocking seven shades out of one another in the preliminary quarterfinals. So that's all you can do for now, I suppose. But it's just, you're kind of hoping at this stage, you know, a trip to Roscommon, Paddy, would nearly seem like a holiday. But here we go again, and like, it's Tyrone coming to Balmafay. I don't know how many times they've been here in the last even 10 years. You know, that's the one thing I suppose that Donegal can't complain about. They haven't been at Healy Park too often in the championship, where Tyrone have made the journey over here probably five times. So I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, you know, it's very early. I think that game could be totally different to what we expect. I think it could be kind of a loose, sort of an open sort of game. Maybe I'm just totally wrong on that. We'll see closer to time. It could be more of the same. But, you know, it means you have to hit the ground running as well, which is no harm either, I suppose.
Rome 2 won't be out for, what, 4 weeks in total? Damien, I know some people nationally talking about Donegal now. Are they in the All-Ireland shake-up or that? I'm, to be honest, as a fan, I'm not even actually thinking that at the moment. I think our barometer maybe should be, and I think proper football people, and I'm not one of them, I think semi-final would be the target. Are you thinking any further than that at the moment?
It's hard to think that far because as Alan says, so many games. Yeah. Like it's just you can't even really root out a path of where they're going to go or who they're going to come up against. So I'd say, like, and it sounds like a cliche, I'd say Donegal will just take it each game at a time and then not look any further. And then maybe when, like, I'd say then it'll really step up if you could get into that, you know, that 2 weeks off where you're looking forward to a quarter final, then you can have that conversation. But I'd say for the time being, like, there's a couple of real tough tests ahead of them. But listen, there's nobody's going to want to play them. Louth obviously showed that they'd closed the gap in Dublin a wee bit. And you look at the other provincial finals compared to what Ulster's was like. Nobody will want to play Donegal anyway, that's for sure.
Some balls, lads, isn't it? And I'll leave it at this. We're very proud to be, like, I work in a staff room in Dublin and they say, like, we thought Cork people were bad at being proud of being from Cork. Donegal people do love being from Donegal and we don't apologise for that. It's great buzz about and it's
unreal. And even, again, Alan alluded it earlier on, the young people, like the young kids that are mad into it and enjoying the whole spin of it. But I think, like, again, McGuinness deserves unreal credit for getting that connection back with the supporters because that definitely felt lost a wee bit last year. The whole thing just didn't have the same effect. And I know we were struggling in that. But I just think him coming back and to do what he's done in such a short period of time is unreal and deserves every credit for that.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, I remember last year going down to Ennis and, you know, the interest was little, I think, at the time, and Donegal had just lost down their previous game before that. They lost by 12 points in Roscommon, you know, and I remember that day, you know, they won, I think it was like 14-9 or something, and I remember thinking, you know what, we have a decent enough standard of player. This could have been a real, real banana skin, and, you know, things aren't going great, but you couldn't really fault anybody involved with that team that day. Like, and I always think even now when you see the likes of the Mark Kearns, Darrell Wales, Jason McGee, these guys, you know, that were around last year. And I just thought that day coming up the road, actually, you know, there was a very few people went down that day to support them. And I thought, you know what, well done to everybody who actually went there that day and, you know, give them the backing and stuff. And Paddy, we always said, you know, we spoke on this show before about, you know, the academy situation, about everything else. You know, there's a lot of really, really good people from Donegal that are willing to work with Donegal. And it's a matter of if we could get them all together. And, you know, the wheels have changed something unbelievable in the last 12 months, even just after the game the last day. You know, I think the thing that struck me was that it was probably something you never thought you'd experience again with, you know, Jim McGuinness up with the cup and stuff. And we always had unbelievable memories from, you know, the three successes of the first tenure. Then things, you know, had gone a bit sour. You just thought those days were behind you. Even watching the game last year between Derry and Armagh, you kind of thought, Jesus, like, we're in how many finals, like 10 out of 12 or something before that, was it? You know, it could be a while again sort of thing. And then just to be back there, bang in the middle of it, almost like a reeling in the years. And as I said, and Damon was saying too, with a brand new element now of young support, you know, and, you know, their time to really enjoy it as well. So I think we should just, you know, live for the moment. And it's something we probably thought we were never going to get. So we're definitely going to enjoy it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Damien, just before we go, it's Armagh again in the minors. And I know you've trained in Damien and you can go then. Ulster Minor football semi-final. They're having a brilliant year so far as well. That one, Saturday, 18th of May, 12 o'clock, Ballyshannon.
Yeah, so we would have seen them actually when we were training with the 20s. They would have been down training in convoy a few days, the same time as us, you know, and they seem a really professional setup and their performance is so good. They played before us down in Cavan as well. There was a bit of a doubleheader that day down in Breffni and they were excellent, play really, really good football. And Barry Ward seems to have them in really good shape, you know, and he's got a good backroom team there, Donny McCall and lads like that, and they'll be a handful. They've put unreal amount of work into it, so hopefully wishing them well, and if it from the hard work they've done, they'll deserve whatever success they get.
Yeah, and the match is live on Ocean FM as well. Damien, you need to go there, do you?
I do. I'll have to hit the road.
Thanks for giving us your time, and I'll be talking to you in the next couple of weeks. Might see you about our draft for a pint some night.
You never know. Thanks, lads.
I'll let you buy me one. Good man, Damien. Thanks very much. Damien Devaney there, our draft manager and, of course, under 20 selector this year. Just finally, Alan, he made the point there, Damien, connection. I get that as well with McGuinness. If some managers leave a county and they're a very successful county. They lead the team. McGuinness kind of leads everybody in the county together, doesn't he? Like, I remember even back in 2012 when Sam came into our dry, he was talking about tradition for him is important, legacy is important. And I asked Pat Morgan, because we hear the usual stuff, gives you belief, he gives you confidence, we know all that. But I'm like, yeah, but everyone else tries to give you that. What's special about him? For me, he's high emotional intelligence, he's a high IQ, he's a great organizer, he's tactical. But Morgan said something interesting. He paused, and he's really articulate, Morgan, and he says, he absolutely loves Donegal. And that's why that image you got of Jim and Brian, I just love that, because what I like about them is they just love Donegal.
We're doing a magazine, Paddy, so it's kind of away from the sport. It's kind of a stylishy sort of magazine. It's be out later this month. Now, I don't mean to plug here, but...
Plug away.
I'd have thought I would interview Jim about Donegal and why he loves Donegal. You know, and I said to him, I don't want no football here. I don't want to hear about coming back or Ulster finals or nothing else. So he was quite intrigued by this different line of question. Just found it really interesting the way even he spoke so passionately about him. You know, the way, I suppose, he felt the need to come back, I think. You know, he could see things, you know, weren't going well. You know, we're kind of learning a bit more about that all the time. You know, I think a letter went through his letterbox was what they were saying on Sunday. But he's just so engulfed in it. I think, you know, the Donegal support was kind of getting, you know, a bit dislodged from the team. But you could see in Celtic Park twice and in Clonus, you know, how much time they give to every single child, you know, everybody there. And I remember, you know, before maybe the 2012 All-Ireland quarterfinal, Jim McGuinness said, Kerry, have a synergy. And he says, we would love that synergy in Donegal, where success would breed success. And, you know, it creates a momentum, basically. And then when you're chatting to some of the younger lads in that team, you know, the Kieran Moores and that, you know, they will talk about being very, well, you know, what age, what, 10 or 11 when Donegal won the All-Ireland, you know, and, you know, that is probably that synergy from the first reign carrying through. Now they're building it again, as we said, with the younger ones. But it's just, I think, you know, if Jim, you know, if they need sponsorship, Jim has connections in terms of sponsorship. If you ever watch the warm-up, it's fascinating. I think the Donegal warm-up, he's right in the middle of it. You know, when they stop it, they started to do it again. He's given it loads. And, yeah, just the fact I think he's one of us, like, and I don't mean to sound too parochial about it, but, you know, I was driving home the last night thinking about what the turnaround and how unbelievable it has been. And you're thinking, you know, thank God he didn't go to Mayo or Galway or wherever else he might have been linked with in the last couple of years, because... You know, we always said to you and I, Paddy, I think that Jim can make that panel of players as good as they can possibly be, even a little bit better, you see. So I think that's what he's doing now. But, you know, every player there, I can just imagine, you know, the we're chatting about players reaching potential, you know what I mean? You know, Niall O'Donnell was one we mentioned there. Like, I thought the last two games he was almost untouchable. Like, the way he's playing with confidence, he's demanding the ball, he wants the ball. You could see even the lads come in. I found really interesting chatting to four or five of them afterwards, and Jack McKelvey was the first of those. You know, they were losing, as you said, you thought the game was slipping 4 points down a few times, but they just kept kind of sticking with their process and stuff, and like, they were totally and utterly comfortable in what they were doing, even though it wasn't really working. They were four down, where Armagh panicked in what they were doing, even though it was successful, if that makes sense. And I just thought that was really interesting facet of Sunday's game.
His clarity as well in his speech, though, he's not... Some people are good talkers, but you know they're wafflers. He's just not a waffler at all. Like, he's... They say leaders drive change in that. I just always find nearly every single sentence he thinks about it. He doesn't just fire... I think Ronan O'Gara has that as well. If you ever listen to Ronan O'Gara on Off the Ball, sometimes there's a pause for a minute and you're going... I hear what, and then he just comes out with this incredible sentence that you're going, ah, Jim never gives you back the answer that you think you're going to get. And I love that. There's no cliches. He's a brilliant communicator. And you would know him well, Alan, from interviewing him down the years. If you say something, he actually stands there and actually listens to you. I'd say his communication skills are incredible. There's no oohs or ahs or anything like that. And that also probably feeds into it as well, in that the players, that must be great for the players. Like,
it's probably the opposite of us, Paddy, because sometimes on this show we start a sentence and we don't know where it's going to end.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, as you said, I think the clarity and the deliverance is unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, the instructions, I feel the players really understand. And I think what happens then is, you know, when the promises and he chats about the Hill and Clonus and the people walking up, you know, when we can do this to Derry or maybe Tyrone or Armagh, and then when they start happening, you see the belief factor gets even more. You know, it all goes back to that day in Rossapenna in November 2010, where, you know, the lads kind of came in dribs and drabs, and then it was said afterwards they went out thinking that we're going to be Ulster champions next year, and that was probably where it all started. Still going like that, Paddy, yeah. So, yeah, I just think it would be a dream for a young player to be involved in that, you know what I mean? And just, you know, to get that maximum out of them. Listen, there's an awful lot to go yet. We said, you know, about Jim getting the most out of what he has there. We were always saying, you know, if Donegal are at it, they're definitely a match for a lot of those teams that would be considered in the second bracket. I think the Armagh, Galway, Mayo, Tyrone type teams, Derry. You know, I think everyone at the minute is a bit behind Dublin and Kerry. That's understandable. But, you know, for the progression Donegal have made in that 12 months, it's huge. And, you know, it's just exciting times now to see where it's going to take us, Paddy.
Okay, the Ulster Senior Ladies Final is on Sunday, Clonus at 3:30. Donegal taking on Armagh. It's a big ask, Alan, isn't it? Armagh having a brilliant season, Division One champions, and the match is live on Ocean FM.
Big ask, Paddy. It was a big ask last year, and Donegal managed, you know, to upset the form book. These two teams have dominated the championship so much, they're actually just the two teams in it now, Cavan, are not in the senior championship. So it's a one-off final, Paddy. As you said, like, Armagh's form has been unreal, Division One champions, where Donegal, you know, didn't get out of Division Two this year. There's a lot of talk about transition and stuff, which would probably be right. But, you know, they're there, they're in a final, and, you know, I know there's no semis or that this year, but, like, Donegal have been a very consistent performer in this Ulster Championship. So if they could pull it off again this year, you know, it would probably be considered a prize, but they, you know, they did manage that last year, but it would be a big ask, Paddy, in all fairness.
Yeah, so good luck to the ladies this week, and good luck to the Donegal Miners. And I know people are texting me about hurling club leagues, minor, under 20 ladies and that. Just in a position, I suppose, of the podcast at the moment, particularly the review shows, you're just doing the matches that you're actually at. You don't want to be waffling at games that you're not at, and you can't be two or three places at once. So, yeah, that's it. Good buzz about Alan, and I'm looking forward to that one. 7:15, so that's a busy day of sport that day, but Ballybofey is going to be packed. Tyrone didn't travel well, Alan, to Celtic Park and Derry, so nothing tells me they're going to travel in huge numbers. I would imagine, and I know the tickets will be dispersed equally, but you always get one group that just seems to get their hands on them if the interest and hunger is there. I think Donegal are going to have 80% of the support there that day and try and turn it into, you know, a fortress like an amphitheatre.
Yeah, well, every game Donegal, the Donegal's three games so far have all sold out. 14 watt, what is it, the first two games, it was an identical attendance, do you remember? And then 28, as you said, earlier, 29 on Sunday in Clonus. So that will look like another sellout as well, because I suppose the trip to Cork might not suit a lot of people the following week. So, you know, it'll be probably the only chance in about 3 weeks. This is how crazy the GA season is now. You only get the chance once in 3 weeks to see the team, with them being away to Cork the week after. But yeah, definitely, I think that time is a perfect time for a game as well. That kind of Saturday evening sort of slot. As you said, there's a lot of sport on that day. I think the Scottish Cup final and the FA Cup finals are both kicking off at 3 o'clock that day.
So European Champions Cup's on at like 2:45 as well.
Oh, is that on the
FA? Yeah, Leinster Toulouse, Man United, City, and Celtic Rangers all will be on at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. So, because we had heard that the Donegal game might be at 5 o'clock, first of all, which was, you know, we just got the end of that. But, no, at least it'll fit in a little bit better, yeah. So, no, I always think that's a good time for a game. We kind of have the sun is set and stuff, and reminds me of the qualifier in whatever year, 2009, was it? Donegal played Derry, come in, do you remember? There was a couple of great games around that time, so.
Yeah, good time for a game. We might get a bite to eat and watch a bit of sport and then make our way down to a cool park. Alan Foley, thank you so much for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. And as I said, we have the minor semi-final live on Ocean FM this weekend, and the ladies Ulster final as well. Alan, thanks a million.
Thank you, Paddy. Thanks for having me.
Good man. Always a pleasure. That's it for the midweek show of the Donegal GAA podcast. We will be back around this time next week, where we will be previewing Donegal and Tyrone McCool Park Valley Buffet Saturday the 25th of May, 7:15 throw-in. Bye for now, stay safe. We'll talk to you in around 7 days.
Ocean FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.